You're listening to the STC Foundation's podcast. This year we're looking at the four Gospels, an opportunity on a Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
Good morning and welcome to Monday's podcast. My name is Alan and it is a huge privilege to join you this week as you travel through Matthew's Gospel. Last week, Bryony walked us through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Kingdom Manifesto, and some subsequent healings and miracles, demonstrating that the kingdom is open to everyone. No one is excluded. This week, we'll continue through Matthew's account of the life of Jesus and allow him to speak to our hearts and our ordinary, everyday lives. Today's passage is Matthew 9, verses 1 to 17. I will read it in its entirety at the end of the podcast, but for now I'm going to focus on verses 12 and 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call the righteous, but sinners." My wife Helen and I do illness differently. I'm a great believer that if you leave it long enough, it will get better. Helen takes the opposite approach. It looks nasty, we better go and get it checked out by the doctor. Last summer, we were in North Yorkshire visiting a National Trust property. We'd explored some ruins and walked through the vast gardens alongside a river and a large lake. We'd been back to the car and retrieved our picnic and had a lovely lunch. And feeling relaxed and content, my boys decided that it was time for some sport and some exercise. So they got a football and we started kicking it around. One of my lads is a talented goalkeeper and the other an accomplished left-footed winger. And we were taking shots when I promise I didn't kick it hard. The goalkeeper saved the ball awkwardly with his thumb. Something went pop and he couldn't straighten it. I took a look. "It'll be fine. Just rest it. Give it a couple of days and we'll see how it is." His mum, however, took a look and decided that we needed to get it checked out at A&E when we got back to Sheffield, which was where we were headed next. So as I drove back to Sheffield, silently questioning the wisdom of taking my boy to the children's hospital, he would, after all, be fine in a day or two. But an X-ray later, and it was revealed that he had fractured his thumb, complicated by significant damage to the ligament. He had been a splint for 6 weeks and then have to be careful after that. And I don't know which of these approaches to medical emergencies that you identified. It will be fine, we don't need help, or we better get it checked out by a doctor. But Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And if we don't recognise our need for a doctor, it's easy to skip over these words and think that Jesus is just having a little dig at those self-righteous Pharisees again. It's nothing to do with me. So here's a question for us to reflect on today. Do you need a doctor? No, not a physical doctor. Do you need Jesus today? Do we need a saviour? We live in a world, a society that doesn't do weakness. I have to be strong. I have to be in control. I have to look as if I've got it all together. I have to muddle through. I can do it. Well, that's all well and good. But if that's the way that we approach life, then simply we don't need Jesus. I'll say that again. Let it sink in. Digest these words. If we buy into the way of the world, if we try to be strong, if we gloss over our weaknesses or make out that we don't have any, if we believe that we can fix it by working harder or magically finding greater powers of self-control, then we simply don't need Jesus. I've been reading recently about the phenomenal worldwide movement that is Alcoholics Anonymous. It is deeply spiritual at its heart, and it is deeply Christian. Imagine a bunch of broken people coming together who recognize that they need a saviour. that they cannot fix their lives and their problems on their own, who turn over their lives and their will to God, recognizing that only He can fix them, who are open and honest about their weaknesses, who practice forgiveness, who take responsibility for their actions, who help others and take their message of freedom and salvation to other broken people. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds much like the church. And it sounds like a church that might just impact the world. But this journey and their journey only begins when we recognize that we are sick, that we cannot fix ourselves, that we do indeed need a saviour. And you know what? In a world that is plagued by anxiety and fear, in a world more addicted and distracted than ever, in this broken and messed up world of ours, we, Jesus people, have got the answer. We know the Saviour. We carry that gospel message, the message that is bringing life and healing and freedom all over the world. So I say again, do you need a Saviour? Where do you still need rescuing? Let's pray. You might want to repeat this prayer in your own heart after me today. Father, I'm human, frail, fallible, confused, angry, jealous, worried, anxious, lonely, and just plain tired of trying to hold it all together. I need a saviour. I need rescuing. I need you, Jesus. Thank you that you come every single day to set me free. Help me to receive and grow in that freedom, and lead me to others who need to know you, who are desperate themselves for a saviour. Amen. Today's reading is Matthew 9, verses 1 to 17. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved."
Great are you, Lord. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Great. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord, it's your Chris.